Have you turned to 1 Kings chapter number 3. 1 Kings chapter number 3. First Kings 3, and last time we saw how that Solomon had been given a blank check from the Lord. The Lord told him, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon didn't mess up this choice. Even though we've seen that he made a couple of wrong choices that are going to cost him in the future. He didn't know it's going to cost him, but it's going to cost him. But he didn't ask here for the things that people are known to ask for. He didn't ask for wealth. He didn't ask for health or power or fame or honor. Instead, he literally made a wise choice. He asked for wisdom. And he joined the ranks of some others that we know in Scripture who made some wise choices in their lives. And, people like Joshua. Remember Joshua in Joshua 24:15 said, "But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." That's a good choice, isn't it? To choose for your house that you're going to serve God, serve the Lord is a wonderful choice. And of course, he told the people, "Say, you can choose you this day whom you're going to serve. But for me and my house, we're going to stick with the Lord." And then we know Ruth the Moabitess. She also made a good decision when she decided she was not going to leave Naomi's side. Naomi tried to get her to return to her land, and she said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." Ruth 1:16, and she wound up being in the line of our Savior. Amen. She's in the line there that brought the Lord Jesus Christ. And then David, in Psalm 119, verse 30, says, "I have chosen the way of truth." That's a good choice, isn't it? Choose the Bible. He said, "I've chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me." And of course, we know Moses. His good choice is spoken of in Hebrews 11:25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, Solomon's choice was for an understanding heart to lead the nation. Let's pick up in verse number 9. He says, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And I want you to notice there in verse 10, it says, "And the speech pleased the Lord." That's what I want to deal with tonight, pleasing the Lord. The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked thyself for thyself long life, neither hast asked for riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither shall there any be arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days." And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and offered up burnt offerings, and offered peace offerings, and made a feast to all his servants. And we'll leave off reading there. But we see this wonderful choice he made. His speech, his request pleased the Lord there according to verse 10. And that ought to be our purpose in life also, hadn't it? To please the Lord with our lives. Our goal should be to hear the Lord say when we stand before Him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And I don't know about you, but I'd like to be able to hear that. The Bible gives several insights about pleasing the Lord. And we know that pleasing the Lord can bring about peace in our heart and life. And there's nothing quite like having a peaceful heart, is there? When you got peace in your heart and life, when things are going well, that's a good thing. Proverbs 16, verse 7 says, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him." Well, Solomon's reign, he didn't know this, but his reign is going to be a peaceful reign. He's not a man of war. His dad was a man of war. Saul was a man of war. The first two kings have been men of war, but not Solomon. Solomon's going to be a man of peace. He's going to be a diplomat. You know, he's going to use diplomacy instead of fighting wars. When we are living a life that we know is not pleasing to the Lord, peace is hard to come by, especially in our heart. You know, if things are not right between you and the Lord, sometimes you have trouble having a good night's rest, don't you? I mean, you know, if there's something you need to take care of and you haven't taken care of it, it weighs heavy upon you. Pleasing the Lord is the continual duty of every believer. I want you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we want to look at verse number 1 here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 1. Paul says here to this church, he says, 1 Thessalonians 4, 1, "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more." So we see here the Apostle Paul taught them how they needed to walk, and what would be pleasing to God in their walk. And he's telling them that they need to abound. Pleasing the Lord involves discovering and doing what pleases the Lord through living our life in the light of his word, doesn't it? We talked a little bit about that on Sunday evening. If we walk in the light, as he's in the light, and we have fellowship one with another, in the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son cleanses us from all sin. But that word abound there, okay, he says, so that you would abound more and more. That word abound means to superabound in quantity and quality. It means to be in excess, to be superfluous. Also to cause to superabound or excel. And that's how we are to do. We ought to go out of our way to try to please God with our lives. Psalm 119, verse 130 says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." And of course we know Psalm 119 verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So, you know, we get from God's word the way we ought to walk, and it shines a light on the path that we should be going and how we can please God, and that's what we should do. So Proverbs 6:23 says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." And of course we know that James said in James 1:22, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Something else, pleasing the Lord means doing the Lord's will, and it begins with the heart of the inner person. Okay, if we're going to do the will of God, we need to. You can do the will of God without coming from the heart, but it's not going to be anything like if you did it from the heart. If you had a heart that's after God. And that's why we need to guard our hearts. Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Now we know that salvation comes from obeying the gospel from the heart. Romans 6:17 points this out. It says, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." As salvation is of the heart, and it comes from the heart. And then we know that pleasing the Lord also comes from obeying the Scriptures from the heart. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." You put the proper thing in. The computers first came out, they had a thing they would say, "Garbage in, garbage out," right? And, you know, that applies to a life, too. You put garbage in, you're going to get garbage out. But if you put the right thing in your heart, you put the Word of God, then you're more likely to get the right thing out. Amen. Look at Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians 6 and verse number 5. And this is addressed to servants. Well, let's think about this in the line of being a servant of God. Amen. Because that's the type of servant, isn't it? And so Paul really is talking to us. I know he was speaking to servants of that had masters there. But listen, Jesus is our master. And I believe that this applies here also. Servants, it says in verse 5, Ephesians 6, 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh. And that's why we know that he's talking about the servant-master relationship in the flesh. He said, do it according with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. In other words, you're to be the kind of servant to your master the same way that you are to your Lord. And so there is a tie-in there. Look at verse number 6. He says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Any of you that ever worked a job and you've seen somebody that was really not into doing a lot of work, they tried to get by with just the minimal effort, and basically they would show a good show whenever the boss man was around. That's what he's talking about with not with eye service, as men pleasers. You know, you're trying to please the boss. I know I used to work with some guys who they were that way. He'd be there, guy'd be reading the newspaper with his feet propped up on the desk, but as soon as the boss man came in, his feet hit the ground, and he tried to look like he was busy. I'd work circles around him. You know, it was obvious that he wasn't getting the job done, but we're not to do with eye service. We're not trying to please men, but look at what it says. But as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. There it is. He's talking about heart. Pleasing the Lord comes from obeying scriptures from the heart. Look at verse 7. With good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And Colossians 3:23 says something similar. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. It's better when it comes from the heart, isn't it? When you got your heart in it. If you don't have your heart in it, it's not going to get done as well. Pleasing the Lord, a third thing. Pleasing the Lord has everything to do with us fulfilling a trust that has been placed with us. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4 says, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. The gospel is a trust. He said, even though we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. So pleasing the Lord has everything to do with fulfilling the trust that's been placed with us by our Lord. And then pleasing the Lord has really nothing to do with pleasing men. In our study in the book of Galatians, we saw in Galatians 1:10, it says, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So we're to seek to please the Lord with our lives. Now, if you remember in Numbers 22, remember the false prophet Balaam? Remember the story about him? He had in his heart the desire to curse Israel. And the reason he had that desire to curse Israel is because he wanted to please Balak. Balak had hired him to do that thing. Balak was the king of Moab, and he was going to pay him a big reward for cursing cursing the Israelites. And if it weren't for his donkey, Balaam would have been a dead man. Balaam had a heart problem, though. He desired to please Balak and get a reward more than he desired to please the Lord. That was his problem. And can I tell you, there are a lot of folks today that have Balaam's problem, and the reward may be varied. It might be the reward of popularity or prestige or power or possessions. It could be any number of things. But pleasing the Lord is what we ought to be about. Pleasing the Lord is more than just what we do outwardly. It begins with a right heart attitude toward Him and His Word. We know from 1 Samuel 16:7 that man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And so the Lord is not looking at so much as what we do, but He's looking at why we do it, our heart motivation. And yet it does matter what we do, but the heart motivation is important too. Remember the widow woman who gave only two mites in Luke 21:3? You think Jesus saw only what she gave, or do you think Jesus saw her heart fully trusting in God by giving all that she had? He saw her heart, didn't He? And remember Jesus' parable of the Pharisee and the publican in Luke 18:13? Remember how the Pharisee trusted in himself, but the publican's full trust was and hope was in the mercy of God. So pleasing the Lord is the continual duty of every believer. It involves discovering and doing what pleases the Lord through living in the light of His Word, and it means doing the will of the Lord's will, and that begins with the heart of the inner person. Last thing I want you to understand is that Enoch is an example of a man who pleased God. Enoch, of course, he was the story about him is found in the book of Genesis, but it's also supported in the book of Hebrews. Listen to what Hebrews 11, verse number 5 says about Enoch. It says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God." That's the testimony right there. Yeah? He pleased God. He pleased God. How did he please God? Well, he pleased God by walking in the same direction that God was walking. You can't walk with God and been going in a different direction, can you? You know, my wife and I go walking together around the neighborhood to get some exercise. We walk together. We walk in the same direction. You can't walk together if you're walking in different directions. But he walked with God. There was something that happened whenever Methuselah was born, and that's when he began to walk with God. And it says in Genesis 5:22, Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. Well, he began walking in God's direction at that time, and we know that he pleased God by walking by faith, because without faith it's impossible to please the Lord, right? That's what Hebrews 11:6 says. It said, "But without faith it's impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." And we see that he pleased God by sharing his companionship. You know, as he was walking with God, you know, you see companion, walking with God, sharing companionship. More than just walking in the same direction with God, I believe there was companionship and fellowship there. And it's mentioned twice in Genesis 5:22 and verse 24 that Enoch walked with God. And then look at Jude 14:15. He pleased God by bearing a strong witness also. Jude 14 and 15. Says, "And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints." I mean, he was preaching the second coming of the Lord before the Lord even cometh the first time. You get that? He's talking about when the Lord is going to come to execute judgment. Verse 15, "To execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." When you think about the time that he lived in, he was living in the times right before the flood. That's a difficult time. I imagine it's pretty much, we know from Scripture, there's a lot like today. Okay? Because as it was in the days of Noah, so it's going to be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And so let me ask tonight, as we think on this matter of pleasing the Lord, Solomon, what he did and that particular thing that he asked for, he pleased the Lord. Are you pleasing the Lord with your life right now? If so, keep it a priority in your life. And if not, well, time to turn around and make it a priority in your life. Amen. Let's make it a priority in our lives. All right. That's our Bible study for this evening. Let's pull out our prayer list and we'll pray for the needs and be dismissed.